Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Joined by Bernie Miklas, Saliga Heating and Cooling is our sponsor of this great segment that I very much look forward to every Sunday morning. How are you, Bernie?
Doing great. Jam-packed Sunday morning. I've been listening, and as always, wonderful to be with you, Mr. Tom Ackerman.
Thank you very much. Just visited with John Mozeliak. Just a quick little, I don't want to keep him too long. We got to him a little late anyway, but you know, a recap of his visit with Nolan Arenado. And he said, you know, maybe I went a little too far on saying awkwardness. I mean, it's fine. Look, I said early in the show, I don't know if you caught it, but I said Arenado would be ready to go if he played for the Cardinals, Red Sox, Savannah Bananas. I don't care who he's playing for. This guy is a ball player, and he's out there taking rips right now, Bernie.
Yeah, I listened. Thanks to Matt Pauly for sending all the audio, not only to Campbell X, but the little old me, too, and I appreciate that. But, I mean, Arenado's very positive about everything. And I got to say, if anyone has been listening to me, whether it be Gas House Gang, Campbell X, my own YouTube channel, I've been talking about this for 2 or 3 weeks. Like, if he comes back, there's really nothing to worry about as far as, oh, is it going to disrupt the team? Is he going to be happy? Is it going to be uncomfortable, this or that? No, because at age 33 last year, he had an offensive season that was way below his own standards, and he is determined to elevate his offense. And one thing about him, you never, ever have to doubt his hunger, determination, or work ethic. And he did a lot of things over the offseason to try to speed up his bat with, you know, by taking a lot of drills and boxing and all this stuff where, like, quickening his hands up, things like that, having explosiveness. So he showed up, and he has a great attitude. And obviously his teammates love seeing him there. I listened to John Mozeliak. Obviously he's thrilled that this is all behind him for now. And listen, Tom, people can be cynical and jaded or skeptical and say, well, what do you expect them all to say? No, no, it's in Nolan Arenado's best interest to be a happy player and to have a tremendous season, because it'll restore this the idea that he is still an elite hitter, and there's a lot of good life in his bat. And if whatever reason some team should want him later on, what would enhance Nolan Arenado's marketability? It would be if he performs better offensively than he did last year. I don't see the negative. They're a better team with him in the lineup than without him in the lineup. So people can be cynical all they want. That's fine. But we all thought, those of us who weren't trying to stir up controversy, we all thought that Nolan Arenado would be in his head would be totally fine if he had to come back to the Cardinals, because you just said it. No matter what uniform he's wearing, this man feels like he's got a lot to prove. And this man also wants to show these other teams that were kind of like, no thanks, I think we'll pass in terms of trading for him. He wants to send them a little Valentine as well.
I could see it in his face. I saw the video of his message to the media as well, and there is something to prove there. He's looks like he's in good shape too. He's been working hard in the offseason. Let me give you a lineup that has some firepower in it. All right, this is with Arenado in it. You tell me a hole in this lineup. Now, this isn't the lineup they're going to go with. This is the lineup I'm going with for maximum offense. Here's my lineup. Mason Winn leads off and plays shortstop. Brendan Donovan bats second, plays left field. Wilson Contreras batting third, playing first base. Alec Burleson's the cleanup hitter. He's the DH. Nolan Arenado at third base batting fifth. Lars Nootbaar in center field batting sixth. Jordan Walker in right field bats seventh. Nolan Gorman plays second base and bats eighth. And Ivan Herrera is the starting catcher batting ninth. Now, you tell me, aside from Gorman maybe chasing some bad pitches and Walker also, where we have an issue there. That's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, it's up to those guys. Of course, this needs without saying, and you know, and I know what you're talking about. This is forecasting that all of these guys will be better, or in some cases do just as well as they did last year. But I think there's a best case scenario for all these guys. I laid that out on something I wrote recently. You know, you can see a best case scenario that is not detached from reality. And in fact, the best case scenario for each one of those guys is actually doable. It's not fantasy. So, but they have to do it. They have to do it. But imagine if most of those guys come through, or most of those guys, especially Walker and Gorman, get on a much more positive track under the new hitting coach, Brent Brown, then this can be a really good lineup. And if Arenado can bounce back offensively, that would make it an even better lineup. And by the way, it's possible for him to do that. Tom, if you permit me, you know me, Mr. Research, I was looking back at age 32, Giancarlo Stanton for the Yankees was 14% below average offensively. He came back the next year at 34, and he was 16% above average offensively. So that's a 33 and then 34 season back-to-back. I wanted to find some examples of, like, you know, it can happen. A guy that was 33 and had a down year by his standards can come back the next year and do better. I've got several examples, but I wanted to leave you with that one.
That's really good. Now, I'm realistic, and I know that it's probably going to be Ciani in center or Victor Scott. That's what it sounds like, and it's probably going to be Pahe, so not a given, but Pahe is going to get a lot of time behind the plate because they like the way he handles pitchers. But that does give you a bit of a setback, I think, in terms of starting lineup. But mostly, I think they just need to be flexible again. I mean, I got to know where Thomas Tejesi is going to see some time. And I think Gorman can be moved around a little bit. It's interesting. It'll be on them this next 6 weeks. I think it draws some intrigue to spring training, quite honestly.
It does. And I just hope that, you know, a player like Victor Scott actually gets an opportunity. And, you know, they don't have it mentally in their mind. Well, he's probably going to have to open the year at Memphis. Give him a full shot. See what he does. I think they're going to have to balance offense and defense. You know, I heard John Mozeliak talking down in Jupiter earlier. Ollie Marmol talking about this in Jupiter earlier. And he was just saying, you know, there's no set thing about this, you know, in terms of who to play at what position. And I think he was referring to center field. A lot of it depends on who's the starting pitcher that day. Like, for example, the Cardinals have some really outstanding ground ball starting pitchers. Well, in that case, you know, a day where really good ground ball pitchers are working, you know, at least first five innings or so, you don't need Ciani in center field as much. You just don't. You want to have your best defense in there, but you also want to have someone in center where they don't have to have the range of Willie Mays, you know, because it's not going to be as many fly balls. You know, they're going to have to be really smart about how they deploy their guys and balancing offense and defense. But with Ivan Herrera, you know me, I'm pretty rabid about this issue. What I don't understand is how they expect him to improve defensively, and he's worked really hard on it. I don't know how they expect him to improve defensively, I should say, unless he's playing behind the plate a lot. And it's no disrespect to Pedro Páez, but clearly Herrera's got much more offensive upside.
Here's a question from Bill on our YouTube page. Does Ollie make the lineup for what he wants to see or what Bloom wants to see?
Well, Bloom's not in charge. He's not in charge, so I'm not sure why we're jumping ahead to 2026, but whatever. I'm really kind of annoying when I continue to talk about this, but I'm not sure why there is such an incredible disconnect out there about people just assuming that it's one or the other. It's like, oh, see, you know that's coming from the front office. So you know Ollie doesn't want to do that. No, I don't know that, actually. Ollie's defying the front office. Uh-oh. You know, no, he's not. It's a collaborative effort. And this isn't me trying to spin something or trying to be Mr. Happy. It's not that at all. I've been hollering about this for 2 or 3 years, if not longer. The Dodgers just won the World Series, and yeah, they have a lot of talent, but they've been a great team. Listen to Dave Roberts when he talks about it. You know, they have conversations. The manager has conversations with the front office every single day, and they go over what the options are, and they reach a common agreement. I'm not sure why everyone thinks this is like, you know, some powerful executive like dictating to the manager, or the manager saying, I'm going to do what I want. The manager's job has changed dramatically. Now managers work with the front office in deciding, well, this would be your optimum lineup. What do you think? Well, I think this. They go back and forth. Why do people want to make it some kind of Waterloo moment if there is a there's a lineup decision that may not be something the front office is fired up about, or vice versa? It's just analytics are here, my friends. They're not going away. All right.
I see the Bernie show. You have a number of videos on, speaking of YouTube, on this and other topics. It is pretty great to be able to subscribe to that. I'm looking forward to getting down there. It's going to be a while, but Matt Pauly is down there covering things, and we have a game on Saturday. I mean, here we go. I'm looking forward to seeing who starts that game and how this all looks. You know, Sonny Gray is back too. I don't know. I'm starting to think I need some time to kind of sort it all out, but I'm starting to think this Cardinals team is not as terrible as some may paint it to be.
I think they'll first of all, they have their pitching staff back. They don't have Gibson or Lynn, and they're going to be, you know, Helsey's there. Fetty's better than what he showed last season. Sonny Gray's not going to allow as many home runs as he did last year. It's just history tells us that. It was kind of an outlier. They have most of their pitching back, the pitching that matters, and they have eight with our Arenado back. Let me throw the stat out there. 82.5% of the at-bats taken by this team last year are down in Jupiter with the team this year, and it's just a matter of them doing a lot better.
Wow. I'll give you this is our 30-second warning, by the way, before
sure,
the news.
Sure, sure.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no. No, again, it's up to each guy to get better, but if you know me, I pour through statistics and analytics and everything else. With each one of these guys, you can see a reason why they would be better. I'm not saying they will be better, but you can see a basis for believing, well, this is possible. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a real competitive club. And what that means, I'm not sure yet. You know, I can't put like a win total on it.
See, I always let you finish your thought. Love you, brother.
See you, brother.
The news is next.